স্নেহ বশ হইয়া করে স্বতন্ত্র আচার স্নেহলে সাপেক্ষ মাত্র শ্রীকৃষ্ণ কৃপার স্নেহ বশ হইয়া করে স্বতন্ত্র স্নেহলে সাপেক্ষা মাত্র শ্রীকৃষ্ণ কৃপা স্নেহ বশ হইয়া করে স্বতন্ত্র আচ্ছা Translation, Lord Krishna's mercy is dependent only on affection. Being obliged only by affection, Lord Krishna acts very independently. Purport, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is merciful, but His mercy does not depend on mundane rules and regulations. He is dependent only on affection and nothing else. Service to Lord Krishna can be rendered in two ways. One can serve the Lord in affection, or in veneration. When service is rendered in affection, it is the Lord's special mercy. When service is rendered in affection, it is the Lord's special mercy. When service is rendered in veneration, it is doubtful whether Lord Krishna's mercy is actually involved. If Krishna's mercy is there, it is not dependent on any prescribed caste or creed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to inform Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Lord Krishna is the spiritual master of everyone and he does not care for mundane caste or creed. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cited the example of Lord Krishna's accepting food at the house of Vidur, who was a Shudra by birth. By the same token, Ishvara Puri, an empowered spiritual master, could show mercy to anyone. As such, he accepted Govinda, although the boy was born in a Shudra family. When Govinda was initiated, he became a Brahmana and was accepted as Ishvara Puri's personal servant. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sri Sanatana Goswami states that one who is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a Brahmana. Srila Prabhupada often quoted a verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas in this regard. Anyone like to supply the Sanskrit? Yata kanchanatam yati kangshan rasa vidhanataha tata diksha vidhanena dvijvatvam jayate nranam. Any man can be elevated to the status of twice born by the process of initiation, just as bell metal is converted into gold by an alchemical process, which we don't see nowadays, bell metal being produced to gold by a chemical process. So, a pseudo-spiritual master cannot transform a person into a brahmana, but an authorized spiritual master can do so. This is the verdict of Shastra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all the Goswamis. This verse is spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was surprised that Govinda was a devotee born in a Shudra family, but Ishvara Puri, who was born in a Brahmana family, had accepted him as a personal servant. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that Ishvara is independent. That means the Supreme Personality of Godhead is independent. And a devotee on the level of Ishvara Puri is also independent. He doesn't have to abide by Shastric or societal conventions. He spoke about Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, and now in this verse he specifically speaks about Krishna. This is a very important instruction that Krishna's mercy is dependent only on affection. Krishna is completely independent. He doesn't need anything from us. He's a person. This is the central point of understanding in Krishna consciousness, that the Supreme Reality is a person. And as a person, he responds to affection. And he also responds to lack of affection. He's independent and all-powerful. Therefore, he can do what he likes. If you're in the presence of someone who's very powerful, you should be very careful not to act in a way to displease him. And most people, even subconsciously, do this. If you're in the presence of someone who's powerful, superior, you might become a little afraid or restrained. And be careful what you say or do, especially if someone has the power to completely alter one's life. One could, in the presence of a king, one should be very careful. If he's pleased with you, he can give you enough wealth that you can live comfortably for the rest of your life. And if he's not pleased with you, you can have your head cut off or hanged or whatever. No, cut off head is the Vedic process. Hanging is, we don't hear about hanging in, beheading is the Vedic process. So one should be very careful. Krishna is not whimsical. He doesn't whimsically have people's heads cut off. He could do if he wanted to. He's independent. But the point is that he responds to affection. Now, I've chosen this verse to speak on as in connection with a series of talks I've been giving on how bhakti is independent of karma, jnana, and yoga, or anything else. It's even not dependent on our performing the acts of bhakti. We can hear and chant about Krishna, but he's not obliged to award us bhakti. Mukting dadati karhi chitnasma bhakti yoga. He'll give mukti relatively easily, but bhakti not very easily, because by bhakti he comes under the control of his devotees. So, Krishna responds to affection, not to karma, jnana, or yoga, all processes in which the individual tries to elevate himself, first of all, neglecting Krishna. And his goal is not Krishna. And although, as I stated and gave evidence for in previous talk on this subject, karma, jnana, and yoga, they won't give perfection unless there's even a trace of bhakti. There should be some recognition of Krishna. But on the whole, they are processes for avoiding Krishna. And actually, everyone in this material world is directly or indirectly an impersonalist. Everyone is directly or indirectly, consciously or not consciously, denying the personality of Krishna. If we accept Krishna as he is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we should surrender to him. And therefore, there are so many different philosophies. They're all different philosophies are all meant for avoiding Krishna. So by karma, jnana, or yoga, one may avoid our... One may be a karmi and or offering sacrifices, recognizing in this superficial way Krishna's supremacy. But one's real aim is to enjoy this world. He's a person, but my own personality is more important to me than his person. He's someone, but I'm more interested in myself than him. So this impersonalism, it's latent in the conditioned soul, because the whole condition of material life is one of avoiding Krishna. Krishna bhuli, seji vanadi bahimuk. Forgetting Krishna, the conditioned soul becomes inimical to Krishna. And when you study Shastra, and Shastra is Vaidaisya Sarvera Hameva Vedyaha, all Shastra is meant for knowing Krishna. Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tatha Adavante Cha Madhye Cha Harisa Ratra Giyate. In all these scriptures, direct Shruti, Smriti, Puranas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, everything, there's only glorification of Krishna. So when you come to Shastra and you're envious of Krishna, then you have to dream up some fantastic philosophy to explain everything in such a way that Krishna's not really there. As I was just listening to a lecture, Prabhupada said this so many times. I'm just listening to Prabhupada's Bengali lectures, which were recently released. And he's making this point, what is this nonsense? They interpret that Kurukshetra is, that the five Pandavas, they represent the five senses, and Kurukshetra is the body. What is this? The station is there, Kurukshetra. It's still there. And Krishna is a person, the whole Mahabharata, he's there. And you try to explain him away to be something impersonal. So it's simply enviousness of Krishna. So Krishna doesn't give his mercy to the karmis, gyanis or yogis in this. Well, he gives it. He gives it in the form of repeated birth and death. Or even liberation, superficial liberation from birth and death. That's what you want? Okay. You're such a fool? Take it. Yeah. But it is foolishness. This should be understood. It is foolishness. What is this? By doing karma, you'll do big sacrifices and go to heaven. But Krishna's the greatest karmi. Why don't we recognize that? He, maya dakshena prakriti, the whole material cosmos is going on by his supervision. And we can be like some criminals in trying to grab a little bit for ourselves, as if it's our own property. Or Gyani, Krishna's the greatest Gyani, Krishna's the greatest yogi. Why don't we just recognize that? And then forget all this independent karma, Gyan and yoga, and just surrender to Krishna. But instead, this competing with Krishna. Oh, I did so many sacrifices. What is that in the 16th chapter? I performed so many sacrifices. Look it up. I performed so many sacrifices. Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi. I'm perfect, powerful. Ishvaroham Aham Bhogi. Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. It's ludicrous. It's like children's game. Children playing some games. Ajo bijanavana asmi. Yusti sadrisho maya. See. Who is comparable to me? Yakshe dasyami. Modisha. I've become very happy by giving so much in charity. Iti vijnana, iti agyana vimohit. In such a way, a person is bewildered. And what's this? What's the next? I perform so many sacrifices. Anyway, you get the idea. You all know there's madness. So instead of thinking I'm doing so much, why don't we just think that whatever I can do is only by His mercy, and therefore yat karoshi, yajdad. Johoshi yatadasi tapasasi ya tatkarushramad arpanam. Do everything for Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna is very inclined to reciprocate. all Krishna wants. He doesn't say that you simply grovel at my feet. All he says is that you just recognize I'm here. What's the most painful thing to someone? To chop their body into little pieces? That's painful, no doubt. But just to ignore someone, if you're rude to someone, it's not very pleasant, but if you just totally ignore them, if they don't exist, that means you have no interest in them whatsoever. And as far as you're concerned, they might as well not exist. And that's the position of non-devotees. They prefer that Krishna doesn't exist. So all the process of karma, jnana, and yoga, Krishna has very kindly counted these among pious activities. But inherent in them is the impiety of forgetting Krishna. Therefore, bhagavad bhakti hinasya jati shastra japastapaha apranasyaiva dehasya mandanam loka ranjanam. All these so-called pious activities, it's like decorating a dead body. And you may say, well, come on, and in the shastra this is all recommended, but much of the shastra is for cheating people, actually. It's called Veda, but one doesn't really know Veda unless he learns from a self-realized soul, one who's actually a jnani. Otherwise, Trigunya Vishayo Veda. The Vedas are concerned with the three modes of material nature. And the three modes of nature bind one to this world. Tribhir Gunamaya Bhava. What is it? Ebi Sarvamidam Jagat Mohitam Nabhijana Timam Ebya Paramavyayam. Everyone in this world is bewildered by the three modes because they don't recognize me, Krishna says. So one may be bound by gold cords or by silver cords or by iron cords, but we're all bound in this material world by the modes of nature, by forgetting Krishna. So this is a stark example. Imagine if you see someone very nicely dressed in the shop windows. Now they started doing this in India also. They have some mannequin. Prabhupada used to use this term. Otherwise, in general English, in England, we call them dummies. What do you call it in America? In the shop? Mannequin. Oh, he maybe picked that up in America, because at that time, they didn't have that. Only started recently in India. In England, at least in the English I knew when I was used to live in England, and it's changed since I was there, they'd call them dummies in the shop. And then they put clothes on. It's with the idea that you will look something like this if you wear these clothes, so come inside the shop and buy them. So that's the idea. So if you see someone, a woman with a nice sari and hairstyle, that also started recently, you might think, oh, very nice. He looks very nice. And then you look a little closer. Oh, it's just a dummy. Oh. But imagine if you see someone very gorgeously decorated, gold chains and rings and makeup. You go a little closer and find, actually, it's a dead body. What could be more shocking? If you think, oh, I'd like to go and embrace, oh. Then you understand it's a dead body. So, a living body can be attractive if it's young and good-looking and decorated. Living body is often attractive. But no dead body is attractive, except maybe to vampires and those doctors who do those, what is it, post-mortem, what's that called? When autopsy, yeah. And they think, oh, great, dead body, good, now we can cut it up. And get excited about it. But but intrinsically, it's something horrible. And the idea that, oh, it looks horrible, okay, let's decorate it. And let it look nice. it's absurd. So similarly, the idea that for one who's understood the principle of pure devotion, the idea that we'll chant different mantras and we'll do different japas and we'll do mantra, japa, yantra, tantra, all these different things, and that will be something good, it's as absurd, not just absurd, but practically insane, as thinking that decorating a dead body will somehow make it better or attractive. So all, in other words, whatever anyone in this world thinks is valuable is completely useless without Krishna consciousness. No, it's useless, it's foolish, it's misleading. So Bhagavad Bhakti, pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the only thing of any real value. And this is what sannyasis have to preach. It may be that grihasthas, they may preach that to other grihasthas. Well, that's also relevant, that well, you have to see also to your family interest and this and that. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was a sannyasi, he appointed Shivananda Sen to oversee the family affairs of Vasudev Datta, because Vasudev Datta was very liberal by nature, which wasn't very practical for his family members. But Shivananda Sen was an expert manager. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put Shivananda Sen in charge of Vasudev Datta's family affairs, because just don't give them all the money you have, or you need to oversee your family property. But a sannyasi, his business is not to preach to, is to present the ultimate point. It may be for grihasthas, yeah, you have to make some allowance, this, that, not maybe, should be. They should be responsible also in their family affairs. But the sannyasi is especially meant for preaching that, okay, you be responsible in your family affairs, but remember, family affairs, it's not intrinsic to the soul. Entanglement in family life is the cause of bondage in this material world. It is possible to be Krishna conscious in family life and to dovetail everything, but at the same time, you don't take it that just because I'm living at home and I'm chanting Hare Krishna, that I'm on the level of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's not just a matter of being a householder and being in Krishna consciousness. One has to actually cultivate that mood of manasa deho geho jo kichumo apiluntu apade nandakisho, of offering everything to Krishna. So that Bhagavad Bhakti is the only auspicious path, actually auspicious. This should be understood by everyone, not just by sannyasis. It should be understood by everyone. And what is the difference between actual bhakti, pure devotion, mixed devotion, offenses in devotion? One should understand all these points. Another way in which, important way in which bhakti is superior to karma, jnana and yoga, and particularly karma, Vedic pious activities, they depend upon many circumstances, anusthanams. And in jnana, one also has to, everyone has to follow dharma, whether one, in Vedic culture, that's why people often from outside India, they can't understand how you can have so many different beliefs and different practices and yoga and demigod worship and so many different things, and how everyone all lives together, because there's a basic platform of dharma that everyone has to follow, whether you're a Vaishnava or a Shaiva or a Garnapatya or even an atheist. You have to follow all of them. I mean, even the Buddhists, they rejected the Vedic culture superficially, but they also maintain the concept of Dhamma, as it's said in Pali. How one has to act, and particularly, there are so many rules to regulate life in Varnashram society, as I said in Somnath. Some devotees are upset by this book, Women, Masters or Mothers. They're going to become a lot more upset with other books I'm going to write because due to the content. Because if we're talking about establishing Varnashram society, there are actually many, many rules to follow which govern all kinds of things which people in the Western world can't even imagine. Just like how to build a house according to Vastu Shastra, and then where the kitchen should be, where everything in the kitchen should be. It's not the essence of bhakti, but it's all helpful, and all bhaktas, until recent times, always followed these things. All Vishnu temples are built according to... So that's just one example. And there's so many rules and so many things to do. But without bhakti, it's all useless. Ultimately, it's useless. It's useless in as much as it doesn't bring us to the proper... It doesn't in and of itself bring us to the proper goal. Its usage is that it also prevents us falling down into grossly animalistic life and gives a platform of piety by which we can become more open to accept Krishna consciousness. So indirectly it has some usefulness. As we find in India today, even though people are very fallen from the platform of dharma, mostly due to ignorance, they don't know, but they have an inclination toward this way of life. And in our meetings, of our Varnashram Gurukul meetings, I want to stress this more and more, because it is something which many Indian people, devotees and non-devotees, will pick up. Even if they don't pick up on Krishna consciousness, they're very... because they may be Mayavadis or Sai Baba worshippers or whatever. But many will very much appreciate the point that we should do everything in the traditional Indian way as much as possible. And traditional Indian way means according to the Varnashram, I'm not talking about the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but the daily activities. But another point about bhakti is that it doesn't depend upon these things. If you, in central London, if you purchase an ex gay bar, which I'll explain to you what that means. Bar means, actually in English it's called a pub. That word has entered the vocabulary in Bangalore, not in Salem yet. Pub means a place where people go to drink mostly beer. And it's called a bar in America. And gay means homosexual. There weren't any gay pubs when I was a kid. England's changed. So anyway, the devotees purchased, the gay bar moved to next door. So we have our temple there in an ex-gay bar. And we made it a temple. So you can't do that in Vedic culture. First of all, you can't have a gay bar in Vedic. You can't have a bar in Vedic culture. What to speak of a gay bar? But what are you going to do in the Western countries? That's why it's said that one should not, if one crosses over the ocean, one is fallen by association, by just going to such a place. Why would anyone want to go to such a place? Well, actually, people did go for trading. we'll find. They went, this Bhat, what do they call? Bhatta, I think. Bhatia community. They went there, what is now Bahrain, Dubai, all these places, they went there for business. And they got up as far as Astrakhan in Russia, which is more than 1,000 kilometers inland. And they brought Brahmins also to worship. They're all Pushtimargi, Vaishnavas. But the general idea is if you cross the ocean, then you become fallen. And still that idea is a little bit there today in the Madhva Sampradaya. But I think they're relaxing on that now. Maybe. Because they allow... Who is that Guna? Sugunendra Tirtha. He went overseas and he still did his pariyai. So that means they allowed it. Yeah. They didn't allow him to worship, but he did all the administration. And Lakshmivara Tirtha did all the puja, or someone else? His disciple did it. So, anyway. There's still some idea like that. So the idea is that there should be a proper place. If you're going to do a yajna, you have to select a place, a pure place on the bank of a river. Is generally a very good place, sacred river, and then you have to plow the land, as that's how Sita was discovered, when Janak Maharaj was plowing the land for doing the yajna, and Sita, which means when you plow the land, then it becomes like this, called a furrow in English, but I don't think you know that word. She was found in a furrow, so Sita. She was found like that. So so many considerations. For performing a yajna, you have to have proper brahmanas, and proper brahmana means they have to be in a proper family, and the garbhatan samskar, all samskars must have been given, they must have had the education, they must be able to pronounce the mantras absolutely perfectly, for which purpose there is a priest who acts as a referee. What's that one called? Udgata, is it? The one who checks, does the checking. If anyone makes a mistake in the mantra, he makes them go back and do it. And pronunciation, the pitch also, the tone in which it's... da 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 da. You know this? And then, but it has to be absolutely correct. There's so many considerations. They have to be completely pure in their life. Then on the individual level also, one has to rise early, and so many things. When you get up, say a mantra to the earth, everyone used to do this. Just before you put your foot on the earth, because it's offensive to put the foot on the earth, who is the consort of Vishnu. She's our mother, but she's also... So like there's so many rules to follow, but in bhakti it's not dependent upon that. In karma, jnana, or yoga, if you make a mistake in this, then you're messed up. You won't get the result. But in bhakti, even though devotees generally follow these things, although they don't, there is a distinction between that which smartas follow and that which devotees follow. But there are many things they do the same. Devotees also follow, in one sense, devotees are also smartas, because they also follow smriti. Smarta means one who follows the smriti. But one who's... The title smarter is given to those who think that the smriti rules. Smriti means all in the sense of the dharma shas, all the rules. They think that the rules are, that's it. That in itself constitutes dharma. What is in the dharma shastras? As, what was that you told me from Agni Purana? One should not remove one's own garland from one's own body. So many rules like that. But I commented that we don't find that in at least in our Gaudiya Shastras. Although it doesn't mean that we need not follow it, because there's so many things. So many, 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 many things. So there's consideration of, in karma, there is consideration of time. Is the time proper? Everything should be calculated. for all kinds of activities. In every village there's an astrologer, and he tells this is the right time for planting the crops and for harvesting the crops and for marriage, of course, and everything is calculated. And if the crops don't come out properly, then the astrologer's in trouble. But it used to be fairly easy to understand also, because apart from the astrologer, he'd give the right time, but certain crops are to be on a certain day, on the third day in the bright fortnight of, and so that's the day when you should sow this crop and this and that. And it all worked. It used to work when the weather was regular. So there's consideration of time, what is auspicious time, what is an inauspicious time. We'll find in the Vaishnav Shastras is very stringent consideration of this, about not observing a mixed Ekadashi. When the titi overlaps, when two titis overlap, one shouldn't follow Ekadashi. It's very dangerous. You go to hell. So one should know all these things. That consideration is there in Vaishnavism. So there is some consideration of time, just like we have time. I shouldn't make this class go on too long, because you all have to take grains after. But devotees, they also observe such things, but they're not restricted by such things. We'll also try to find a pure place. We won't like to have a temple next to a butcher's shop. Sometimes certain communities, they try to acquire land next to a temple and deliberately open butcher's shops. They'll do that just to, I guess they think that's their dharma too. To open butcher's shops right in front of a temple. So, desh, kal, niyam, nahi. What is that about the holy names? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that kayate shuete jata tata nama loi desha kala niyam nahi sarva shiddhi hoy. That there's no, even when you're eating, you can chant the holy names. You can't chant Vedic mantras, Sri Sukta or any such thing, while eating. There's a time for eating and there's a time for chanting, well, Sri Sukta, Purusha Sukta, Vedic mantra. While lying down, you can't do it. You can't think, well, getting tired here, chanting these mantras. Okay, let's lie down and chant. You can't do that. You shouldn't do it when chanting japa also. But one can chant the holy names while lying down. It's not a recommended process, but you can do it. In any circumstance, one can get all perfection by chanting the holy name without consideration of desh, kal, or niyam, without consideration of is the place pure, is the time pure, rules and regulations to be followed. All perfection can be achieved. So there's consideration of time, place, candidate. Who is a proper person? Who is the proper person to be the priests in a yajna? They have to be qualified brahmanas. And it's so technical that different priests will chant the mantras, someone will check the mantras, and someone is expert in making the altar, I guess you'd call it, or the place in which the, because they're not all square like this, they may be in all different shapes, and they have to be a certain size and a certain shape, and it requires quite a lot of geometrical knowledge to be able to make that. You have to be expert in geometry to make something which is the right size and the right shape and everything. So they're all the, and then who's qualified to be the yajaman in a big public yajna? The king, not everyone. It's not, if a shudra becomes rich, he can't say, well, now I'm going to do a yajna. He's not I call the brahmanas and we'll do a yajna. No, the money has to be earned or acquired. The kshatriya, he can't just perform a yajna, but he has to rule over the populace in a dharmic way. The people in the whole land have to be pious. Then he can collect grains and gold and everything from them and perform the yajna. Otherwise the yajna doesn't work. Everything has to be pure. The intention has to be pure as it can be in the material world. Everything has to be done in a pure way. The money which is earned impurely cannot be used for yajna. It becomes a great offense to do so. In bhakti, one should be careful about this also. We find that Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he always refused. He won't go to these feasts which are offered by people who earn money by questionable means or whose lives are not pure. So in bhakti, we have to be careful also. But we shouldn't just eat from anyone, for anyone's food. Bishoye anna kaile dushta hai man. Man dushta haile nahe Krishna smara. By eating food given or cooked by non-devotees, one's mind becomes contaminated. Then one can't think of Krishna. So there is some consideration of time, place, circumstance. But bhakti can override these things. It's not that we're totally unobservant or inattentive about time, place, or circumstance. But bhakti can override all these things. One who's fully in bhakti, he doesn't have to follow these things, although those who are fully in bhakti usually do so for the benefit of others, to show them what to do. And one who's perfect in bhakti, yeah, even if there's some mistake, even if there's some error, just the very, because Krishna is all pure, everything becomes purified. So if the intent is to do everything for Krishna, then everything becomes purified. That Shukracharya said, what is that? Mantratas tantrajas. What is that? Mantratas tantrajas chaiva. What is the verse? Can you look it up? I just quoted that the other day. Deshakalava vastutaha sarvesham, what is it? Mantratas, you can look up. Anusankirtanam tava sarvesham mantratas tantratas chai chidram. Mantratas tantratas chidram. If there's any fault in the chanting or in the procedures, deshakalarha vastutaha, or in the time or the place or the paraphernalia, sarvesham sarvam karoti nischidram anusankirtanam tava. Shukracharya said to Vamanadeva, if there's any defect in all of these things, everything becomes non-defective by the chanting of your holy names. Very important point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur stressed, and he told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to amplify this point, is that when we talk about the chanting of the holy names, it means inoffensive chanting. It's not Chaito Dharpana Marjanam doesn't happen just by chanting in any way. The attitude has to be one of wanting to be a pure devotee. There's a difference. It's not, if you chant, it is stated also, there's also that Sanketyam Parihasyam Vastobam Helanam Evacha. What's the next slide? Oh, sorry, I half learned so many shlokas. Look it up. Sanketyam Parihasyam Vastobanam Helanam Vaikuntanama Grahanat. Sarva. Vaikuntha nama grahanat. You should all learn the verses, and then you can help me because I have an excuse, failing memory, old age. Sankhetyam. Anyone? Parihasyam. Grahanat. Asheshaga. Asheshaga harang viduhu. Learned persons say that the holy name, even if uttered as some kind of entertainment or neglectfully or unknowingly to praise someone else, it has the effect of destroying all kinds of sins. But if one is, so that's referring to namabhas, one kind of namabhas. One doesn't know. One says, I'm going to the Laundarama in the Western world. I think it's an antiquated word. People don't say this, but public place where you go for washing your own clothes. There are washing machines, you put a coin in, you put the clothes in, put the coin in, and then it all goes round and round inside the machine, and then you take it out after some time. It's an, I think the word is not used much now, Laundarama. So the word there is Rama. People have no idea who is Rama, what is Rama, where is Rama. Never heard of Rama, but they said Laundarama. So they get the benefit of chanting the holy names. There's also Vyavadhan, when you say, you may say R and then M. How can we say that? If you say rats, oh no, that's not, that's ra, ra. Ra doesn't come in English much. I'm just trying to think. If there's some, if you say, I'm just trying to think of something in English, but ra doesn't come in English. Anyway, the idea is that if you say the syllable ra or ra, and then you say something else in between, and then say ma, you also get the benefit of saying Rama indirectly. There must be something in Sanskrit. There's also the story, there are so many examples. There's the story, which is somewhat spurious, of Valmiki, the hunter, or the murderer, being told to chant. He couldn't chant the name of Rama because he's too impure, but he was told to chant Mara, 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 and it came out Rama, 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 and he became purified. So it, one in complete purity, bhakti. Yeah, bhakti is not dependent upon these things. And a pure devotee, in any time, place, or circumstance, he can remember Krishna. One may not be able to perform all the activities properly. In deity worship, there are many considerations. But in remembering Krishna, there's no such consideration. And even if one cannot perform bhakti according to all the rules and regulations, like Gajendra, how could he perform all the rules and regulations? Even normally he couldn't, because he's an elephant. And especially when he's got his foot held by a crocodile, how has he gone? But he offered prayers. And he was delivered by Krishna, because Krishna reciprocated with the bhakti. So he may say, well, first of all, he should have gone to a temple, and then he should have had the priest do a puja. He'd taken a bath, he'd done that much. So but he hadn't put on tilak, and he was impure because he had all blood coming out of his foot. So he should have waited to offer the prayers, but Krishna accepted his prayers because it was offered with pure devotion. So, the material should be pure. Even if somehow or other you could get a pure place, actually it's not possible. I was just going to say how you could get a pure place in India and anywhere in the world to perform yajna. The whole, from the ritualistic perspective, this whole country is contaminated by at least by one thing, cow slaughter. The very fact that cow slaughter is going on in this country, I mean, the whole country is... as I often say, especially in Hindi lectures, that if in this country, in one century, there was one cow slaughtered, it would be a great, what's the word? Kalank, how do you say? Scar or black spot on, yeah, that's exactly what it means, black spot, on the whole country. But daily, thousands are being killed and government is allowing it. So all of you who may want to vote in the upcoming elections, you may remember that Srila Prabhupada stated that don't give any votes to someone who will allow cow slaughter. So there's no, the whole place is contaminated. It becomes pure by the chanting of the holy names. But for ritualistic performances, they should all be stopped. Cow slaughter should be stopped. It's a very serious offense. So even if you get very all pure materials, everything, the whole atmosphere is impure. Na desha niyamaschatra, na kala niyamaschata, no chishta dao nished hascha, Sri Harer Namni Lubdakaha. This is a quote from the Vishnu Dharmotara Purana, speaking to a Lubdaka, which means a hunter. How can a hunter engage in Hari Bhakti? Someone from such a sinful background. So he's told, there's no consideration of place, rules, time. Again, oh, desha niyam, kala niyam. There are no rules pertaining to place or time in the chanting of the holy names. So even without having everything all perfect, in karma, unless you have if you're doing a yajna or some ritualistic, everything has to be perfect, otherwise it's not going to work. But in bhakti, even if nothing's perfect from the material point of view, it can give all perfection. Because it depends, it's Krishna reciprocating with the devotee. Krishna makes so many rules to get people to follow them, and in this way purify, regulate their life, purify their life. But then they should understand, okay, now they're very much concerned with purity and doing everything properly. Okay, now you understand, real purity is Krishna consciousness. And ultimately nothing can be pure in this material world. Anyway, unless it's engaged in Krishna service. So bhakti doesn't depend upon any time, place, circumstance. Everyone is eligible, whatever their past may have been. They may have been very fallen and sinful, but if they agree to stop being fallen and sinful, then they can be purified. Padma Purana, Sakrit eva parigitam shraddhaya helayava bhriguvara nara matram tarayat Krishna nama. By utterance of the name of Krishna, even once, whether with faith or neglectfully, can deliver anyone, any human. Then doesn't say you have to be twice born or pious, anyone can be delivered. This verse, which I just quoted, has been given in Padma Purana, where Sanatana Goswami comments that the main fruit of chanting Harinam is divine prema. Chanting Krishna's name even once in any manner whatsoever can give liberation, but that is only a secondary effect. In the word parigitam in this verse, pari, the prefix parika, means even or indistinct or even incomplete utterance of the holy names. So, Hare Krishna. I'll stop there because there's at least another hour's discussion on this. more points to be discussed on this point. Bhakti is independent and superior to all other processes. Hare Krishna. Anyone want to ask any question on this? It's all being covered in the series of talks, probably, whatever questions you have. Yeah, please.
When commenting, Srila Prabhupada almost always said that he remembered Narayana.
Yeah.
That at the end you should remember Narayana. But he obviously didn't remember Narayana. Please reverse it.
About Ajamiyo, Prabhupada says he remembered Narayana, the real Narayana. I believe he quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that in that desperate situation he called out the name of his son and remembrance of his former life's devotion to the Supreme Person, Narayana, that jogged that remembrance in his mind. Does anyone else remember that? I believe Prabhupada quoted that. But according to all these statements, even if you don't remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it can deliver one from all sins.
That's also stated in the chapter.
Yeah. Right. That verse I quoted and forgot that. completely forgot it. I just mentioned that verse. Sankhetyam parihasyam vastobam helam vaikunta namagrahana dashe shogam harang viduhu. That even if the holy name is chanted neglectfully, inattentively, as a kind of entertainment, not offensively, but in all these ways, to indicate something else, it can deliver one from all sins, say the learned. So, it can deliver one from all sins, but in this case, the Vishnu Dutas came, which is more than being delivered from sins. And also, he didn't die at that point. He got another lease of life, and then he went and did his sadhana more, and then he went back to Godhead. So, Yeah. Okay, look it up and let me know.
Could be wrong. I just read it a month ago. Carefully read it, wondering whether he actually remembered Narayana at all, and I could not find any reference.
Well, look it up in the Sararta Dashini. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. But I seem to remember, and I often quote that I believe he was quoting Vishwanath, or it may have been someone else, that remembrance jogged, that jogged remembrance of his early life's devotion to Narayana. Srila Prabhupada does state that because of his bhakti, which he'd forgotten, he was inspired by Narayana to name his youngest son Narayana. So he was always calling out Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. It is very important to name children with good names. One of the Alvas, I can't remember which one, he said, any mother who names the child Keshav, generally the mother won't do, but they can always give a nickname, whatever the name. Keshav, Keshav, they'll always be calling. By that alone, they'll be liberated, which in Sri Vaishnava terminology means what we would call going back to Godhead. And I remember the first time I had experience of this. I think I wrote about it in that book, Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life. There was the youngest son in a family, which in those days family meant many kids. The youngest son in the family in one village I was in Bangladesh, and all the time the others calling out, Vishnu, Vishnu! All the time calling out. So that reminded me of the Narayana story. Then?
Yes, who interpreted this mantra? This Gandhina Radha Krishna, this Kurukshetra as body.
Kurukshetra's body, the Pandavas, I believe that was Gandhi. He did that interpretation. I'm not sure who did it. You could check it out if you want. Very influential commentary for quite some time, now largely forgotten, was Tilak's commentary, in which it mixed with the national politics that karma, you have to do, the real message of Gita is to work like an ass, and you just work. Kamanyevadhikaraste, just you do your work, that's all. You don't do anything else, that's your dharma. That's it, complete. That was very influential, Tilak's commentary. I'm not sure how influential Gandhi's commentary was. It's amazing. All these things are largely forgotten now. Things change so quickly. It's Vyapi Prabhu, he told me that he recently visited Ukraine, the country of his birth, and although for hundreds of years in Ukraine, everyone's known that Ukrainian culture and Russian culture is the same. In fact, Russia began in Ukraine, right? Kiev was the beginning of Russia. But now, just in a few months, everyone thinks, oh, Russians are completely different from Ukrainians. And all the problems we have are caused by the Russians. So it's amazing how people come. Srila Prabhupada also writes in his commentaries, I believe it's to the Tadbhag Visarga verse, that the mass of people are puppets in the hands of the leaders. And it's really true with propaganda. That's why we were discussing, I think last year in America, yourself and myself, how preaching is meant for intelligent people, but actually a lot of what we call preaching is just propaganda. If you tell people something enough, then they believe it. They tend to believe, they just unthinkingly believe it. So you create some profile of yourself as being a great saintly person, and then you say something, and then people believe it. That's one way of preaching, but that doesn't have the effect of bhidyate hridaya grantis chidyante sarva sanshaya. It doesn't have of piercing the heart and changing the consciousness. Just shifts the consciousness from one manifestation of Maya to another manifestation of Maya. Anyway, that's a completely different discussion. But it is noticeable, myself having lived in India for 40 years almost, India and neighboring countries, and how it's changed so much. How? By propaganda. How the England I grew up in, if I meet anyone the same age as me, which I did recently, last time I was in Sri Lanka, I was on the plane. The plane had three passengers. There are only four seats in the plane. It's a tiny plane, so I speak with him, and the England we grew up in is different. They change everything by propaganda. Just change. Previously, people were put in jail for being homosexuals. Now, if you say anything against homosexuality, they put you in jail. So how things have changed. There are warnings when you enter the country. Not now, maybe 2 years ago, I saw in England that be warned, if you say anything, any racist or homophobic comments could land you in jail. And the police, you can see, the police, they're so afraid of being accused of racialism that they're Muslims saying, death to all the kafirs, we're gonna take over your country with Islam and kill all the kafirs. They have big placards and they're just standing there watching them. And then there was in one city in England, the police knew for years about a whole bunch of Muslims grooming young white girls for sex, but they just let it go because they're afraid of being called a racist. Absurd, completely absurd. Now we're bordering on politics. We'll finish that. But actually, with the vision of Shastra, we should see everything clearly also. Even without the vision of Shastra, I mean, many people understand that it's absurd. Somehow, in the secular world, at least, maybe in spiritual circles also, the wrong people are at the top. And they're trying to change everything into what the mass, what people don't actually want. But then they do change it, and then the people go along with it. Leadership is crucial. You have the right people at the top, everything should go well. If not, very bad. Raja Nashta, Praja Nashta. In Bengali it said, you must have in Tamil also some saying like that. Everyone can understand. In Slavic languages there's a saying, which you probably all know, that the fish rots from the head. You have that in your language also? I think it's in all Slavic languages, because I heard it in various discussions in various Slavic countries. Poland also? Yeah. I only heard it when I first went to those countries. Hare Krishna! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai!